Hey everybody, this is Isaac, and today Christina and I are here with Leslie McKennell, former understudy for Glenda and Nessa Rose on both national tours of Wicked. Leslie also has a multitude of regional credits, including playing Elizabeth in Young Frankenstein twice, Adelaide in Guys and Dolls, and performing in Les Miserables at the Hollywood Bowl. Additionally, Leslie is now one of the stars of the new vlog, TikTok Boom, available on YouTube, and we also did a post about it earlier this month. So Leslie, it's great to have you with us. How are you doing?
I'm good. Well, we know that you're doing well, so we've already been through that. But yeah, how are you guys?
Great. Nice weather here in California. Not too hot for once, or too cold.
Where are you in California?
Concord.
Concord. I'm
about 25 miles east of San Francisco.
Oh, okay. I'm from Southern California.
Fullerton?
I'm from Fullerton originally, yes.
Yeah, I am. Sure. Yeah, so yeah, I'm in the SF Bay area, and I don't know if you've ever been to the East Bay, but yeah, it's about 25 miles east of San Francisco over the Bay Bridge.
Okay, my grandfather lives in Pleasanton. Is that something? Yeah, I don't know. I'm not exactly sure which direction that's in, but I've been there. I'm still not very good at directions, having been all over the country. I'm usually don't know where I am.
So. Well, you did play Glinda, so I guess it makes sense that you're not good at directions.
Yeah, I'm a little now. But yeah, so thanks for having me today, you guys.
Excited.
Thanks for coming on.
So tell us a little bit about your new vlog, TikTok Boom. You know, the first episode went up. It's great.
Sure.
It's a lot of fun. But kind of tell us about that, how it started and what
it is. It's fun, though. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's just starting. Actually, our second episode's probably going to go out tomorrow. But it's my friend Jeffrey Scott Stevens and I, and he is just the most wonderful. I actually did Young Frankenstein with him last summer, and we just sort of, like, we really clicked. And this past year, we've been working on, like, building our own little variety show in sort of the style of, like, Carol Burnett's. We both kind of have that kind of old sensibility of humor that doesn't really exist much around these days. It's sort of, like, still exists a little bit in SNL and those kind of things. And now Maya Rudolph has her own variety show and stuff. I'm sure if it's still on. But we just love that sort of thing, and he just is constantly doing, like, every regional show across the country, always. He's just wonderful. Anyway, so, you know, who knows what's going to go on with it, but we just wanted to sort of share that our humor with the world, I guess, in some way, and sort of base it in some Broadway interest, you know, because I don't know if you guys have ever heard of, like, Tyler Oakley, or if you know Superfood is from, like, Pentatonix, if you've ever heard of that group. I don't know. They're sort of, like, bloggers, you know what I mean, that I sort of recently discovered, and I was like, I love that they have a voice for very specific groups of people that have sort of, expanded to a much wider range. I don't think that that's something I could be like, that's our goal, but I think if we sort of gear it towards more, like, theatrically, you know, the kids want to know about what's going on in the Broadway world or this kind of stuff, or we'll just talk about, maybe we'll do an episode once we get things going and people can suggest, like, I want some, I don't know, relationship advice, and we'll give you some really crappy relationship advice. It'll be funny. I don't know, something like that, you know. So it's honest, it's just for fun. It's silly, and every week we're going to do, like, a new silly duet together, so that's, like...
Oh, that'll be a hoot.
And just so, yeah. Yeah, so it's just for fun. It's, like, nothing huge deal, but, of course, we want to get the word out there and have, you know, the people watching it and stuff. But, yeah, so it's just starting up, and it's been sort of in the works for a long time, but we, like, finally, like, did it. You know those projects where you're like, I'm going to do that. Oh, that sounds great. Yeah, totally. We should totally do that together.
Yeah.
We're now finally happening.
Yes. Yeah, yes. I was like that with the blog for probably a year before it actually started. So I get that.
Well, you guys must know a lot about that. I mean, starting innuendo out innuendo, you know, you didn't know where it was going to go. Who knows? This could die in a month. I don't really know. I hope not. But, you know, I'm willing to put in the build up time for it to get out there and stuff. And who knows?
Well, and it's like, it's kind of like doing a show, you know, like a show that's got an open-ended run. You never know how long, you know what I mean? It's just always a gamble, but it's fun. It's a good gamble.
Yeah, it's a good gamble. And whatever, we had a good time doing it, so, you know.
Yep, win-win.
Whatever happens, it was always fun, so that's my motto.
So, yeah. Who is Leslie McKinnell outside of being a performer? Like, tell us a little bit about yourself as a person.
Who am I? Oh, gosh. That's a loaded question. well, you know what? I don't know. I think this is why I like to be a performer, maybe why I like Wicked so much and everything was, I just like creating magic. I'm not a magician or anything. I can't do magic tricks, but I like to just make sure that my life is magical in ways and just like, and having moments with people that are, you know, like with my friend Jeff or people in shows that I've done stuff with, but just, I don't know, experiencing life in that way. And I think that I've started to live my life, hopefully, from inwardly out, you know, and if that is conveyed through my art, then great. If that's conveyed through my friendships, that would be wonderful as well. But, oh my gosh, whenever some people ask me this question, I'm like, what do? I don't even know. I can never think of anything that I have interest in. I don't know, I do. Oh my gosh. I don't know. I live in New York now. I love living in New York. I still love to travel. And gosh, I can't think of anything interesting. do you have any more specific questions? Does that kind of answer your question?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. So of course I love theater and acting and everything, but I'm obsessed with different. I love artists, and I love specifically like comedic artists. So that really fuels me. There's like different artists that really fuel me and inspire me, and that kind of proliferates out into my own interest, you know. So anyway, yeah, that was big.
Well, being a New Yorker and loving theater, I have to ask, what's your favorite new show that you've seen this year?
Oh my god, hands down, Bridges of Madison County.
Oh really? I did not get to see that. Was it great?
You didn't see it, or you didn't like it?
No, I didn't see it.
You didn't see it. Which I was like, that's fine. You know, I am not everyone's cup of tea. And Gentleman's Guide, which I love.
Oh, I love Gentleman's Guide.
Yes. I mean, yeah, Gentleman's Guide is just wonderful. But Bridges of Madison County, I don't know what it was. It just really, you know, being in the business is difficult, and I probably shouldn't talk because I haven't really, I mean, in the grand scope of life, I haven't really been doing it that long. You know, it feels like a long time because it gets hard a lot of the time, so it makes it arduous at points. But, you know, I hadn't really seen a lot of shows in a long time just because, you know, living in New York, wherever you live, it's like you live there. So, oh gosh, you live in New York or you live near San Francisco. It's like, but I still live my life around here. I'm not on vacation, you know, so I'm not like going around and going to 1,000 different like tourist kind of things, you know, so you kind of like get in your own life and don't get out there. But Bridges actually was one of them that I was like, you know what, I need to just go see theater, just like stop being stupid. You know, because sometimes it would, you know, every show you go to now, you're like, well, I got my final call back for that and didn't get it, you know, so it's like, it becomes like a sad experience, you know, because you're like, you know, everyone in it, it's not me, you know, and I was like, screw that, so I went, and it just, oh my gosh, it just absolutely changed my life, and it reminded me why I love to do what I love to do, and that there's a lot of BS that goes into everything in every business, especially this one. There's a lot of cynicism, there's a lot of politics, there's a lot of everything, and it just, all of that was just washed away by this sweeping Jason Robert Brown score, and, you know, Stephen Pasquale, and, I mean, Kelly O'Hara is a national treasure, we all know this.
Right.
You know, whether she's your cup of tea or not, you know, and they were just absolutely glorious together, and I felt like tears in every pore of my body, if that even makes sense. I lost my mind. You know what I mean? And I think maybe that's what a lot of people feel when they've seen Wicked or something like that, or a show that changes you, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the power of theater. And that's what I felt seeing that show. It was an incredibly powerful experience. So, it was long-winded, but it was really good. That's the answer.
That's wonderful.
It was great. Now it's closed. Oh,
I know, it's so sad.
Yeah. Heartbreaking. I was, like, devastated for a week. I was like, I can't believe this is closing. Anyway.
It seems like everybody who saw it was devastated that it was closing. Like,
Yeah.
Facebook blew up.
You know. Yeah. It did. Didn't it, though? You know, it's just so funny because it's like, it just depends on, it's not an every person kind of show. And it's sort of like, I think with Gentleman's Guide, it's a little different because it's a comedy and it's a farce. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when Bruce's and Madison County is a pretty touchy subject, you know?
Right.
So I think people get afraid of feeling that, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's not, they're not as, you know, they're not as drawn, like Gentleman's Guide, even though it's as wonderful as it is, it's still like a light and fanciful kind of thing. And you're like, I feel great after this. Like Bridges, you feel pretty knocked out. But you feel good, but you feel like you got the wind knocked out of you. You're like, oh gosh, like how do I feel about life?
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
which is a wonderful theatrical experience, but maybe not everyone is going to be drawn to know that that's going to happen to them, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's my theory on why it maybe closed earlier than it should have, you know? But, yeah.
Absolutely.
So there's that.
So, how did you...
Yeah.
How did you get involved in theater? How did you kind of get your start? Were you a child when it all started, or how did it start?
I grew up more in the kind of the music world. My parents are musicians, and so I kind of grew up in that. The biggest thing I did was children's choir for like 7 years of my life, which was like it was choir, but it was like semi-professional almost. And we toured like Europe, we toured the East Coast. Actually, my first New York performance was at Carnegie Hall. I think I mentioned it in the blog, my first blog, but it was when I was 11, and we got to sing, you know, it's not like a totally special experience, like a lot of people have done it. They have like really good high school choirs or children's choirs that sing in different, like, they'll like do the Bernstein math or like something.
Right.
But so I got, was very involved in that. I didn't really do much theater truly until like high school. And even up until like my junior year of high school, I wasn't really sure what I was going to do in college, even though I was always very college oriented, even from a young age, if that makes sense. Just like, you know, like
mm-hmm.
academically and all that stuff. And just, I was always involved in like a thousand activities. And of course, like music and orchestra and vocal ensemble were like big in that experience. But it was really just sort of, I sort of fluked on my college apps for some reason. And I got into like kind of my safety school. It was like near me. And I was like, oh my God, I don't want to go here because it's like near home. And I wanted to go away for school and all this stuff.
Right.
And it ended up being like the best thing that ever happened. And did the BFA program in my college. And, I mean, guys, I guess basically from senior of high school, I knew I wanted to do it, but then, you know, did the program in college. And then from there, it just, I don't know. It just was always going to happen. Like there was no other way really. I don't know. So yeah, like I was always involved in music and stuff, but, and did like a couple shows here and there, but I was never like theater all the time, but definitely, you know,
yeah.
Now we are. So yeah.
That is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. So, when you were touring, details about like some of your favorite places that you visited?
Yeah, of course. Oh my gosh. Think back. Ooh, memories. Definitely, I love Seattle. My grandparents live there. You were saying favorite, like, tour stops?
It could be anything favorite.
So you're asking, like, cities? Oh, okay.
Forest, city,
state, anything. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, as far as cities go, definitely Seattle. And then, a lot, I loved a lot. Definitely Costa Mesa, because that's right where I'm from.
Right.
And I was very privileged to get to go on in that city. For some reason, I was the only Glinda cover at the time, the way because someone had left and a new cover, the other cover was coming in. So I sort of was left as the only cover, which worked out great for that city. I had a lot of family there and stuff.
Oh, yay.
Well, that's always good.
Yeah, it was really, and it was just like, so great. And my father is in the Pacific Symphony, which plays out of the Sejusham Hall at Costa Mesa. And I grew up seeing theater there, and I saw Ragtime there, which was the show that show actually made me want to do theater. I was like, oh, this is definitely, I always kind of known, but I was like, that, I want to do that. So being being on that stage where I'd seen that show and seeing my dad perform for my whole life was pretty cool. I loved Madison, Wisconsin, actually. We were there in the fall, I remember, with tour too, and it was just absolutely gorgeous.
And you were on a lot there, weren't you?
In Madison? I was on a lot in there, yeah.
Because I have a friend that actually saw you, I think, twice in Madison.
Oh, so, how funny.
Yeah.
Well, I hope I did well.
Yeah, I think she saw you once with Vicky and once with Anne, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. So. Yeah, oh my gosh. I kind of don't remember. But that sounds familiar. I have the memory of a goldfish. Yeah, I love that city. It was so fun. We went corn mazing. We were going on a corn maze.
Yes.
So fun.
Oh, I love those.
I'm going to have to say
so
no.
Fun.
Well, see, I live in South Alabama. Yeah, exactly. We have corn everywhere, so.
You have corn?
No, everywhere. There's corn everywhere down here. So.
We have apple picking, made apple pie. It was just such a fun, that was a good tour memory. What other cities that I love? I mean, there's been some cities where you're like, ooh, that was rough.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I mean, sometimes you're in a good city and you're having a rough time in life, you know, like just because you're on tour with an awesome show doesn't mean you still don't have, you know, life things happening.
Right.
So I have, you know, some cities I'm like, that city sucks because I was like, my boyfriend hurt my feelings or something. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
You never know. But, yeah, overall, I got very used to, I got very good at traveling. You know, traveling lightly and getting used to, it definitely got me used to accepting change a lot more quickly than I had been used to in life, you know? So I don't get attached to, like, it's helped me. I was like, when I did shows as a kid, I would get, like, I don't know if you experienced this, I was, like, doing theater growing up, I don't know, maybe it's just me. But, like, growing up doing shows and I was a kid, when it would end, I would be, like, depressed for a week.
Oh my God! Yes, I
you know?
I have a hilarious story about that. Actually, I did the Sound of Music, and it was at a community theater, and I was like in sixth grade. It's like a children's.
Did you see the Sound of Music?
Yeah, I did the Sound of Music in like sixth grade.
This is my story too. It was the Sound of Music. I got so depressed after.
It was, and it was the next day. It's like it ended on a Sunday. It was a 16 show run, like 4 weekends. It was awesome. And it ended on us, and during first period math class with Miss Sadia Hunter was my teacher. I very distinctly remember this happening. I just all of a sudden burst into tears, just out of nowhere. And Miss Hunter was like, "Why are you crying?" And I was like, "I don't know." You know, was
all like, because my soul has left me.
Well, I just never experienced it before that, and so that was the first really big thing I did. It was the Sound of Music for you that happened to you with as well, though?
Yes. Yes, actually, that's, like, exactly the memory that was, like, in my brain when I was saying that. I played Maria, of course, in the 8th grade, totally sensical, with braces. And I was just so that was, like, one of the first, like leads I did, you know, as, uh-huh. you know, growing up, and it just, I was so depressed, you know, but, now, kind of being on tour and like having to leave things a lot, and just even just now doing, you know, regional shows that aren't long run. You know, I did Wicked for almost 3 years. You know, basically combined on and off and stuff, and so got used to that. You know, but then doing regional shows, you're like, oh, we're in and out, and you know, whatever, how many weeks it is. You know, 8-9 weeks, like sometimes 6-7 weeks. You know, and you just kind of like you grow to love that group of people, and then you take the people with you that really, really, you know, you connected with, and you have to, like, you have to really keep up those relationships, you know
yes.
what I mean? You have to work at it, you know, and that's kind of a tangent off that, but just, like, I've learned to not attach myself as much, and, like, love the experience for what it is in the moment, and then be like, okay, you know.
Exactly.
So tour helps me a lot with that. Yeah.
That's a good way of looking at things.
What did you say?
I just said that is a good way of looking at things, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that way you don't stay upset. So, talking about Wicked, you had a really kind of neat journey with it because, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but you were a swing and understudy for Nessa on the First National, then ended up doing ensemble cover Glinda and Nessa on Second National, and then went back and covered Glinda just for a temporary thing on the First National, correct?
Yes, correct.
So how did you get, like, talk about your initial audition process, because it seems like everybody's is different. Like, how did yours kind of go about? Were you in for Glinda and Nessa from the get-go, or...?
No, I know everyone probably has such an interesting story, huh?
Yes, yes.
With your audition. This show is so, Wicked is such a unique beast as well. It's so different, really. I mean, there's very few situations out there, like maybe now coming up, like Book of Mormon is like this, or like long shows that get to be long running, you know, but when I auditioned for the show, I think the tour had been out for 4 or 5 years at that point, and it actually, I replaced Christine Reeve.
Oh, yes, you did.
So I didn't know that was happening at the time, but basically I had just moved to New York. It was sort of like one of those stories where I was like, well, will this happen again? Probably never. I had just moved to New York. I was so super homesick. I'd only been there for a couple weeks. I was, like, ready to move home. I was like, this was a mistake. You know, because I was just, it's scary. Oh, gosh, it's so scary when you move. And I had called my agents. I had booked this gig, Tokyo Disney, a show at Tokyo Disney, which is, like, a great gig. And everyone I know that's done it has just loved it. And my agents were like, no, don't take it. We want you to move to New York. I moved to New York, like, a couple weeks later. I was like, I'm going to take the job, see if they want to take me. I can't handle it. They're like, okay. They called back. They're like, they're still interested. This was, like, a few months before. But great. So I, like, accepted that job. And then I actually finally had been searching for, like, a job in the city. And I gotten a job at, like, you know, at a retail store. It was my first day of working that I found out that I got Wicked. But anyway, so a couple days before that, I had written... Crazy. So I wrote my agents one morning because I when I first moved I was with the LA half of my agency, and then I moved in with the New York office, you know, of my old agency. So I still, you know, as I still do now, you know, looking at my own auditions and stuff as you do. And I saw an open call for Wicked. I had been in for them a few months earlier in California, actually, when I was doing Les Mis at the Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
They were having their like seasonal LA auditions. I went in and got a call back. They actually sent me in for Elphaba. It was a total disaster. I literally think I went like, the wizard has, okay, thank you, like left the room. Like I didn't even think I was like, bye, this is such a mistake.
Oh my
because
God.
I wasn't really like a belter at that point, which I am now randomly, but I was like, I'm a soprano, like why, I don't know. I didn't even think I was right for that show at all. I really didn't know much about it. I was like, I don't think I could ever be in that show, whatever. So they call me back though. They're like, oh, we're interested in you for a swing. I didn't even know what a swing was, to be honest. And so I was like, okay. So that was like months before. I called my agent up. They're having open call in Wicked today in New York. This is in New York. Should I go in? Should I like go to the open call? Or like, I know that they said I'm on a list, whatever that means. An hour later, I get an email from my agent. They're like, you're going in today at 4:00 for the NASA stuff. So here's the stuff. And I was like, and FYI, like, none of NASA's stuff is on the CD.
No, it's not.
Like, it doesn't exist. I was like, wait, what are these songs? Like, confused. So I went in at 4:00 that day. I did the NASA side. I sang a couple ensemble solos.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning, it was like, you're going in to dance today. I went in. They sent me to the Gershwin Theater. It was, like, one of those, like, sort of, like, romantical New York things. I'm like, I'm at the Gershwin Theater. I'm going backstage. It was me and one other girl. We went and danced with two of the dance creative team people. We did lifts with him and all this stuff, and I didn't really know what was going on. It was, like, so fast. It was, like, really strange, and the girl was like, well, I guess it's me or you, and I was like, I can't. I don't really know what's happening. You know, and I leave the Gershwin Theater, and it's, like, I'm going down, and I see there's all these things kind of painted in the stairwell that I've, like, everyone who's done the show before, and I'm, like, looking at it. Kristen Chenoweth, Idina Menzel. Like, this is weird, walking down the stairs, you know?
Yes.
Get on the subway, I go home, my sublet, I got a voicemail from my agent, hey, call me back. Call them, and I'm like, hi, and they're like, hi, how do you feel that your callback went? And I was like, you know, and actually, sorry, I'm running, I hope you're following this, I'm just, like, blabbering.
No, we
before
are.
This, in the beginning of the story, Natalie Derrida, who was, of course, I'm sure you know her, did Les Mis at the Hollywood Bowl together. Because they do kind of concert series, like production concerts there.
Right.
So they let her go for Wicked LA for the few weeks to do that. We met there. We were sort of like, we call each other Anne and Diana from Anthony Hable. You're like, we just kind of like, one other person that we just really connected. And I was like, my Diana, my Anne, you know. So I called her during this process and I got my call back. I was like, oh my God, like, I'm not a dancer. She's like, you're going to be just fine. They just want to make sure you're not, like, retarded. Like, it's fine. You'll be fine. Like, for this thing, your talks will be great. Okay. So that was part of the story. I forgot to talk. Anyway, so my agent called me. How do you think your audition went? And I'm like, you know, like, oh, that's so funny because you booked it. You know, it was like one of those. And I like felt, I remember where I was on Cornelia Street in the West Village. Sometimes when I walk by there, I'll walk by this like really beautiful, it's like this beautiful sort of gate that used to be like a horse stable. And I'll be like, this is where I booked my gig.
Oh.
You know, and it was like magical moments. And I like just kind of collapsed to the ground because I was like, this is not happening. Like, that doesn't happen. And I tell you, it doesn't happen. Being in the business that long, it's just you take those moments from there. And long past my story. And then I moved. I really didn't know what a swing was. I was kind of confused. And they're like, so we're learning your first track. I was like, what's a track? Yes. My poor dance captain was like, this girl, what a disaster. But she was so great. I ended up being fine. And so I replaced Christine Reese because she was Nessa Rose on the first national.
Right.
For a little bit before she left for the second national. So I replaced her. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I did that for about a year and a half. And then I just sort of expressed interest. I was like, hey, you know I'm a tall redhead. I know that's weird. I know I'm a lot different than the normal way they look at Glinda. But I think at that point, they sort of were, like, open to different people in the role. Because it's Oz. I mean, they've had black girls playing Elphaba. They've had Asian girls playing Nessa. Like, Glinda is a tall redhead in the movie, as far as I'm concerned. So I was like, I can do it, you know, and I expressed interest, and they were receptive, thankfully. You know, you never know how that's going to be received. And
right.
So they brought me in. They brought me in for it, and it was Libby Cervais' track. It was me and her were up for, so funny how it goes, replacing Natalie. I think I can talk about this. I think it's fine. Natalie as the standby in San Francisco.
Right.
So I auditioned for the creative team. I got called back to that. It was between me and Libby, and I was like, wow, this is crazy, you know. And, of course, Libby got the standby in San Francisco, and they asked me if I wanted to replace her track. And then I moved towards, and I got my own track in the ensemble and understudied Glinda. And I think that's the story, yeah. So super fun. It's an interesting journey. I'm glad I said something, because I think I probably would have stayed in that track, which was just great. But I'm glad that I got to, you know, I'm sure it was different than a lot of people had seen, whether that's good or bad, I don't know, but I had fun. I liked bringing my own sort of new taste to that role, and it was just a blast. I loved it, so, yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
10 minutes later.
That's phenomenal, though.
Yeah.
So, what was your take on Glinda like? Like, how would you describe her as a character?
Gosh, how I played it or how I viewed it, or both?
Really, both, I guess.
Well, how I see her, I'll say that as much. I don't think she's as much of a diss as she. Of course, I didn't play it this way either. Not saying that like other girls that like play her that way are diss. You know what I mean?
Right.
She can be portrayed as that. I think she. The beauty of Wicked, this is why I love this show. The beauty of Wicked is that it's Oz, and it can kind of be anything. And it's sort of, the show is molded into what it is, and, you know, people want it set as the way it is, and I totally get that, and that's great. But I think with Oz, it's like, it really can, and any new person that's going to be in it, especially a long-running show, like, it's going to be different, whoever is in it. It's just how it's going to be. Everyone's going to be different in any same role that they play, you know?
Right.
But I think that's what I like about Glinda is, like, she can be played and perceived in a lot of different ways. Like, she can be played intelligently, and she can be played sort of under the cusp intelligently or come off as blonde and ditzy, but whether she is or not in the beginning, like, she grows into something more. Like, she really does have an arc in the show, which is interesting. Like, she changes.
Uh-huh.
Or better. You know? That's what I like about her, is that she really grows, and she sees her mistakes,
right.
And she is humbled for them, you know, and that's how I see her. But she's also just, she's a blast, you know what I mean? Like, there's just no, I mean, even, obviously, I'm sure everyone loves to do popular, but just, I mean, thank goodness, or even that, gosh, the Fallen House scene, you know, with the wand, and, you know, it's just fun, because she's just a blast, and you can find little nuances just anytime you go on, you know. And it's a little different for understudies, because, you know, there's only, it's sort of in spurts. Like, you may go on once in 1 month, or you may go on 4 times in a week. Like, you know, you never know. So it's an interesting sporadic growth pattern being an understudy in a role like that. But how I play her too, you know, people in the cast would always be like, I'm like the Leslie Glinda version of like kind of Kristen Wiig kind of situations, which is a huge compliment to me anyway. I think I'm like, that's nice that anyone thinks that, but I do like playing it in that sort of just excited sort of like witty way, I guess, and whatever. Yeah, I'm not as like, I don't know, everyone's different, you know? So,
absolutely.
And I think it's so cool to see how differently people can do it, especially popular. There's like just 1,000 ways that song can go. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So,
yeah.
How did it come about for you to rejoin the First National Tour? Because you joined for like, what, was it like a month and a half or something like that?
About two or three months, I think.
Oh, wow.
But it was, yeah, it just was, you know, like the way that tracks were happening and filling in and all this stuff. Like just basically, you know, Wicked is such a, like, as I'm sure you guys know, probably having followed the show for a while, like, just how many thousands of people, you know, different, not thousands, but, like, a lot of people have been in it, you know?
Uh-huh.
Right. Dancers, singers, everything, you know, roles. But it was just, long story short, a huge turnover time, and they just did not, like, the dance captain literally did not have time to teach everyone. So they were like, we need time before we get our next girl to come in. You know, and at that time, I kind of was like, I had booked another show coming up, like, in the early summer, and so I was like, well, I can't stay that long, and I kind of want to go, you know, I don't know, I was like, I want to go back, but it's hard kind of going back to the same show, because you want to be in New York, and like, be like, I need to pound the pavement here, you know, it's hard being away,
uh-huh.
But, so they just needed it, it was basically literally a fill-in for a time, they're like, we know you've done this track, we know you know these tracks, but can you, you know, very graciously ask, like, I was very, very grateful that they asked me to, it was very nice. And I'm super grateful to be thought of, you know. So it was, it was just a huge turnover time, and they were like, there's no time to do this right now, so can you come, you know, because I just needed, like, a couple days of rehearsal at that point, you know, so.
Yeah.
Right.
And you ended up getting to go on for Glinda a few times, didn't you?
I did. I think I may have only, oh gosh. I know I went on at least once. Which is fun. That was worth it for me. I mean, to be in the show at all was worth it, obviously, but
absolutely.
It was definitely fun going. It was weird. It was definitely weird because going back and forth between the companies, it's like same costumes, different faces. It's such a trip. They're like, and it's, you know, the shows, I'm not sure if either of you, how much you've, you know, seen the second and first national or like how many different times or like different casts rather, but like,
right.
I'm sure you see differences. It's the same
yes.
show, but it's—I don't know how it looks from the outside, but from the inside, it's like, oh, it's weird, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You can. There's pretty big differences you can tell. I mean, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the bridge. You know, the bridge is different. The bridge at the second national is like just a facade. You know, it's like that's different. But just little things when you're learning too. Just little idiosyncrasies that get moved. You know, the creative team definitely does a great job of maintaining it all. You know, but it's hard. I mean, people are different. Bodies are different. Like. Someone's going to go to 4 instead of 5, you know, sometimes, and then that gets shifted over somehow. So, you know, sometimes an entire company is just sort of shifted over one number or something weird, you know, like that you just are like, oh, well, in this company, I was over here. Well, this company, this track is over here. And you're like, okay.
Mm-hmm. And even then,
so,
sometimes I know they'll make little edits as it goes. Like, I know the second national had a habit of switching, or they have a habit, actually. I don't want to say it's happened like 3 or 4 times of switching the costumes and wigs for the Elphaba and Glinda covers.
Oh, yeah. Like, just because of different, like, because of injuries, because of just different ways the track's building. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I think it happened after I left. They finally switched the costumes back to, like, quote unquote, the way the track is supposed to be. But it's just all different. It's all different.
Yeah.
Over, you know, and then off Broadway has, like, US Strip ensemble tracks and stuff. Like, it's all, like, all the same, but like so different when you look at it from behind, you know.
Absolutely.
So I remember when I first joined the second national, they were like, well, great, she's coming from the other tour, so instead of the normal like 3 weeks of rehearsal, we'll give her like 3 days, so she was a swing, it'll be fine. And I remember Alicia Albright and Jeremy Duvall were the dance captains at the time, and we all just sort of had a collective moment of like, we're gonna cry for a second, because they were like, so this track, you go here, and I was like, no, I'm literally on stage last at that track. And they were like, oh, God, well, this is this now. So it was just, they thought, like, oh, she knows this ensemble track, and it's like, it was a totally different pattern.
It's like, no, I know the blend of the track from the second, from the other tour.
Yeah, so. We were all like, oh, God, but, you know, I pulled through, we all pulled through, but we were like, we should have given her more.
Absolutely.
Just because it was just, you know, but at the end of the day, they give you the same story, and they do a really, I mean, you know, the creative team is always out in every company, really keeping the maintenance up, you know, so that's good.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Any other questions?
sure, I have some more. I just thought of one. Yeah. Was it challenging having to adjust to different theaters every few weeks when you were touring?
The sound, is that what you said?
Yeah, when you had to go to a different theater every, you know, few weeks touring, you know, the dress rooms are in a different place, and...
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah, it was just super, yeah, it was, I'm sorry, I'm having a little hard time hearing you, if that's my mouth.
She was saying,
So, was it challenging when you were touring, having to adjust to the different theaters, you know, like, different dress rooms or different places, you have different people dressing you, you know, probably slightly different people in the orchestra, you know, how was that, doing that, like, every couple
of
weeks?
Yeah, oh, gosh, well, it just kind of goes back to what I was saying about getting used to change, being adjust, you know, you just have to be flexible and adjust quickly and kind of be a malleable person because, yeah, it was definitely a challenge. You know, as far as, like, dressing rooms go, it's like, well, here's my station. It's like, I definitely, there was many times where we would go, be like, you know, you would do your old traffic pattern from the city before getting around to whatever side of the stage. You're like, that is a that's a wall right there. Can't go there. But, you know, getting used to where we go, you know, so that was definitely challenging. But yeah, in dressers it gets hard because you know every city you have to explain to a new dresser like this and that, and definitely challenging at times. Like for sure, when I was a swing, it was definitely challenging because. Whatever track I was on for, I was so, my costumes were completely different, so kind of the dressers, you know, I would be as patient as possible, but, you know, the dressers, because that's hard for them, it's like, okay, they just got used to doing all these people's costumes, and now they have to figure out how to button up this GD Emerald City costume that's, like, 5,000 pounds, you know? So as a swing, I got really used to just doing almost dressing myself, which, I'm just sort of the believer, like, if I can dress myself at home, like, I can dress myself in costumes, like, it's gonna be fine, but there are definitely some pieces that you can't do by yourself, I remember my, gosh, so coming back to me, I'm remembering, my tour 2 costume, which was sort of, like, has, like, the blue top hat, and it sort of is, like, it's, like, a circular coat, it's, like, brown, and it's sort of, like, it's, like, a hoop skirt, almost, coat, and goes down, that was, like, literally, I could not button the bottom half of it by myself, like, I had to have help. So there's just some pieces, and obviously, like, the bubble dress, like, that literally takes two people to put on you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, yeah, so just getting used, it's definitely a challenge, but, you know, you get used to it, and sometimes it's completely fine. Other times it would be a totally dramatic disaster situation. You know, a couple times here and there, and then it wouldn't be, you know. But definitely the sound was a huge adjustment. Sometimes our stage manager would come and be like, okay, well, you have to be way further downstage in this part, in this theater, because the sidelines or this and that, or sight lines, you know, all this stuff, or the spotlights in a different place, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, just was bottom line, just learning to be flexible, and then just taking the note.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
So...
Did I answer your question, Christina?
No, that was good. Okay. No, yeah, because I'm always wondering.
Oh, good.
Like, but I just got used to this restaurant now. Like what you said, like you would walk in, there would be a wall there, like, oh,
yeah.
And see, then if you're me, if you're me, you're going to walk into the wall anyway, so.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But anyway, so one question we kind of like to ask everybody, because it's just kind of like a fun question. Have you ever had, and this might turn into a 10-minute question, but have you ever had any funny little onstage mishaps or bloopers that you want to share, like in any show, Wicked, whatever?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Absolutely. Let me just think back. There were so many, but it's been a minute, so I'm, like, trying to think. Oh, my just didn't come down the whole opening number. And, you know, we had to, like, what city was that? I was just swinging it sometimes, so I wasn't actually on, but I remember running out to the house and being like, oh, my Providence? Yeah, they had to stop. This had never happened before. They literally had to stop the entire show and start over again.
Oh, my
gosh. From where they left off. And it was so awkward because instead of starting the whole number over again, like, everyone was like, okay, we're going to go to this position and freeze. And the lights kind of came up, but everyone was still frozen because, like, the music hadn't started or, like, someone wasn't saying their line or something. So it was just, like, walking, like, a weird live, like, painting, you know, at, like, oh, gosh. There was one time I was on for Glinda where I was dancing in Ozzfest, and, like, Glinda and Sierra come down in the middle of when they enter the stairs, and they come down the stairs, and they're, like, have a little dance, and then they go off to the side, and they're, like, slow dancing.
Okay.
Well, during that dance, my I think it was my right strap to my dress just popped off.
Oh.
I didn't have a strap.
Oh no!
And luckily the dress is so tight that it's like gonna stay up even as like a strapless thing. But you know, I am not a well endowed lady on the top, so I was like, there's not much to hold this situation up, even though they've had it. Crap out of my corset. I'm like, oh no. So I'm literally like dancing with Chris. Oh, Chris Lusso was with Sierra at the time. We're literally dancing, and I'm like, what am I going to do? So he's like, stand this way. So he's tucking my strap into the dress, tucking it in, and then literally, like, as secretly as possible. So I was like, I can't just have one strap, and there's no way I'm going to fix this other one. So he's like helping me get my arm out of, if you can imagine me just like putting my hand up over my face, and like, he's like taking the strap down off of my left shoulder, and I'm like putting my arm up, and I'm just kind of like going, hey, with my arm, trying to be like I'm dancing and like put it down, and then he tucks that one in, and we were just like hysterically crying.
Because it's,
oh my gosh, just how, oh, so funny.
The Ozzfest party just became a little bit more X-rated.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Sierra was like already in dress. Like, let's give it a minute. But he's just trying to help me because on stage we're trying to like be, you know, whatever, you know, discreet about it. And so anyway, I get up to, it was Vicky Noon. I get up to her and I'm doing the like, you know, like be like, I'll dance with you or whatever, you know.
Uh-huh.
Doing that, you know, the Ozzfest dance, and she's like in the middle. And she looks at me, and Vicky Noon was, like, the worst with cracking. And
I've heard that.
Tell, she would do, like, this silent heaving laughter where you probably couldn't tell even from, like, the third row, but you could tell on stage. And so she just, her chest just starts, like, going, like, laughing. She sees that I don't have drafts on my dress. And basically the whole popular thing, I just did a lot of shimmies. And, like, Vicky and I definitely, like, I just, like, kept putting my boobs in her face a lot. And she was just dying. And there was like, a whole moment where we just, like, it just stopped. Like, and the whole audience could kind of tell. Like, and it was just one of those kind of magical, but, like, probably the craziest thing was happening. But it stopped. The show, like, stopped for, like, a full 2 minutes because we were like, dying laughing.
That's...
And when I was, like, fall down, and she just was dying. And my music conductor... started laughing because I had no straps. I mean, you wouldn't be able to tell in the audience that, I mean, it could be a strapless dress, but since we all knew, it was just like, oh Lord, what if that dress falls down? Let's hope to God it doesn't. So that's one of them I could think of.
That's a great one, though. I mean, if you gotta have a blooper story.
No, that's
blooper.
It's funny you say that too, because, you know, I want to say it was Christina DeChico. I think it was Christina DeChico actually had a boob pop out on stage in Popular once. So,
amazing. Yeah, no, luckily that didn't happen to me.
Wouldn't be the first
time. It's for the kids.
Oh,
we don't want to disturb the children. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Oh, I totally forgot about that. That's so funny. There's so many others. I mean, there's like, I've fallen on bubble juice before. Totally slipped on that before. I remember one time Richard Blake completely just slid down the stage in his bow.
Oh.
Just fell down and slid down the whole stage.
I watched Michelle funny. London almost did that once when I was seeing it. That was actually when you were in the show.
Oh, yeah? As Nessa?
Yeah, it was in Memphis. You were in the show then, actually. I think I met you that day.
Oh, yeah?
And she almost went down.
Yes, yes.
So.
Yeah, there's, you know, it's live theater. Things happen for sure. I don't know. There's so many more, but I can't think of any, of course.
So, outside of Wicked, what are some favorite shows that you've done?
Oh, gosh. Two that I can think of are Young Frankenstein. It doesn't really get much better than Mel Brooks, you know? And that I got to play, like, a Madeline Kahn role, and Madeline Kahn is just one of my comedic heroes. Especially in, you know, she's in Clue and Blazing Saddles and all those things, and she's sort of, Glitter and Be Gay has been a song from Candide that's been, like, my song for a long time, since, like, college. Like, it's just a song I always do, and that's one of her, you know, famous songs. So anyway, I feel connected to her in a way, maybe comedically, or just I admire her in that way. And so it was just so fun to play. And Megan Mullally played the role of Elizabeth in Young Frankenstein on Broadway.
Right.
She's also one of my comedic heroes. So it was just one of those, like, very special to me roles that it just, you know, and I am all for coming on and parking and being a star for a second and then going back to my dressing room. Like, it's just one of those roles that you, it's a little bit of it, you get to steal the show, whether you're great or not. Like, it steals the show the way that the role is written. Mm-hmm. So it's fun to do that and then just kind of, like, lay back. That's just great. And just so fun. I don't know if you know the show at all, but especially the last song, Deep Love, which is, I'm sure you can understand what that means. It's just a crazy, super fun song where she has crazy adult moments with the monster. and that show was really cool because we got to work with Jeff Whiting, who is Susan Stroman's, like, right-hand man, who's assistant director and choreographed with her on projects since, like, The Producers, basically. And it's very cool to be in the room with him and get direction from him straight. And we were the first regional production of that show since it had toured and been on Broadway and stuff. And got to wear the original, it was, like, original costume set. That was cool.
Oh, that
and
is.
And then also, right, yeah. So, and then right when I left Wicked, I went away and did a show called My Fairy Tale that is a new musical by Stephen Schwartz, actually. And it's been around and about. It's about Hans Christian Andersen and his muse, his real life muse, Jenny Lind, which is, she's a real life person that lived and was in real life Hans Christian Andersen's muse for, like, inspiration for his fairy tales. And she's also a character in Barnum, randomly in musical. Anyway, so I got to sing an aria by Mozart in the beginning randomly because she was an opera singer, and then play a series of, like, different fairy tale characters. And so one of them being, like, the Little Mermaid, and many others. But my other favorite was, like, the Pink Princess, and that was, like, I got to just be Glinda for a whole number, which was super fun. And I got to work directly with Stephen and his son Scott Schwartz, who is a really well-known director here in the city and stuff. He directed. He's just wonderful. It was just a magical situation to work with that team. And I'd met Stephen Schwartz once in Wicked, but he's sort of like the wizard, in a way. No one sees him that know-how. You know, he's sort of, like, esoteric and doesn't really come about much because, you know, doesn't need to. And so I, being in his show for almost 3 years, I was like, I don't even really know you, you know? I get to work on a whole show with him directly, and one time for the theater we were working out, we got to do a presentation for all the big donors for the theater in Solvang, California. I don't know if you know that, Christina, where Solvang is, but I got to sing the mermaid song called Come Drown in My Love. It's just a beautiful, like, floating soprano song, and Stephen Schwartz accompanied me on it, and I was, like, looking over, and I was like, Stephen Schwartz is playing the piano for me right now, and I'm performing for people. Like, that's stupid. You know, so it was just a very cool moment. So that show was just, and I don't know if you guys know who Kevin Cahoon is. He's a super, well, he was actually in Hedwig back in whenever the first Hedwig came out off Broadway. He's in thousands of Broadway shows. But he was just a magical person to be with. He was Hans. And it just was, you know, the show, I don't think really has much of a journey left. You know, it has its things to be worked on and stuff, but it was just just, I mean, I don't think many people get to work with a living legend in that capacity, and I just feel so hashtag blessed. I feel very grateful that I got to do that. If I don't ever get to again, then that's fine, but I just, it just was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. So that was a very, one of my favorite experiences for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Getting to sing original Steven source material. But like, I was the first, but they had done it in Holland once, this show, like many years ago, like 4 years prior. But then I was like the first person that got to sing it, you know, that, you know, of course it's not like going to be, it's not every show is like Wicked or whatever goes on that journey. But I was like, regardless, this is pretty cool.
Absolutely. So what are some dream roles that you'd like to do one day? Are there any like current Broadway roles that you'd like to do?
Yes. I want to be in Gentleman's Guide.
You would be very fitting for either of the big female roles in that show.
That's a dream role. It's going to happen, too.
It should.
Get out there. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say that. But whatever. I'm just going to say it, and I want to do that. So if anyone's listening, just let them know that I want to do that. And Eliza and My Fair Lady is always going to be a dream role. Pretty much kind of anything Julie Andrews did, I guess. And anything that Madeline Kahn did, basically, I would, kind of anything randomly Barbara Streisand's done. Fanny Bryce's Funny Girls is definitely a dream role of mine.
What about Lauren in Kinky Boots?
You know, I haven't even seen it. I mean, I know it well, but I don't know. I haven't even thought that I would even be right for that.
I think you could pull it off. It's very.
Yeah, pull it off.
I mean, just from what I've seen of you, it's a very funny, like silly role that you get to belt a little, and you know.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. All right. I will look into it. I haven't. I'm the worst friend. See, this is the thing. I was like not going to see theater. I was so bad, and like I kind of in and out in town, and like of course my very dear friend Tori Roth, like she's got married. She was in it forever, and I couldn't see it. Robert and with all these people that I'm like, I'm a jerk. So it's still running, thankfully. You know, I'm going to go see it, Isaac. I'm going to go see it. You twisted my arm. I need to go see it. You know what, even those shows that you're like, I haven't even seen Book of Mormon just because I tried so many times for lottery that I just sort of gave up. That I was like, I guess I'm just not going to see the show until 2020. Like, it'll be around fine, you know, but I need to like go see these pieces of theater that are so
absolutely
important, right, you know?
You know, that one, Matilda's great. But, yeah, absolutely. Well, one thing we like to kind of ask, like, to wrap things up, is what advice would you give to aspiring performers?
Oh, my God. Oh, this is such a tough question because I think a lot of BS answers can come out of anyone's mouth for this. And I hate what people have said to me because they're like, that's lame, you know, but it's not. It's, I think the biggest thing, even though it sounds like a giant cliche, is that if you have a bigger reason to live in your life, that will come out into your art. You know, I think aspiring performers, like, if you don't know why you exist as a person, then you're not going to know why you should continue in this path of theater, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So if you don't know what your higher purpose is, I don't even mean that like religiously, I just mean like why you are who you are. I think something I've realized lately is that like just because I'm in a show or not in a show doesn't mean that I'm not a person.
Right.
If that
Absolutely.
Makes sense, or you're not defined by that. I think that's my advice. If you let yourself be defined by a specific show or a specific project or something, then you're never going to find happiness or true success. And this is a constant lesson, daily lesson to myself as well. So I think that is also part of the advice. Like, just because someone gives you this advice, you're like, oh, great, like, I have the tools. Now everything's going to be great. It's a daily lesson. It's a daily living lesson. Every day, because I've done this and that, and the experiences I just described, which are so wonderful and meaningful to me, doesn't mean that the work is done, and doesn't mean that everything's easy. You know, I would love, I'm sure, you know, it happens for some people and stuff, but, you know, I would love to be like, oh, I'm doing, I have the pick of this and that, you know, which isn't always true for anyone who's had, even Kristen Chenoweth, I'm sure Kristen Chenoweth has one story that she's like, I really wanted that part or something.
Right, absolutely.
Or maybe not, because she's the one person that doesn't. But, you know, who knows? But I just think that if you live with a higher reasoning to your life, that will come out in the projects that you do. And if you have a why to your life, then you're going to find better hows to live that why. And it's a daily, you have to work at it every day.
Absolutely.
You have to work at it every single day. So it doesn't really, I mean, it gets easier, I'm sure, in different ways. But whatever level you get to, it's going to have its own hardships and challenges. So I would like to say, I mean, you know, it gets better. Like, it does get better, but it doesn't really get easier. It's still, but it's worth it. It's worth it in the end, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. It's worth it.
Because if people, honestly, people like us, people like you guys, people like who, if you're performers or you direct or you love theater or whatever, like, the one, I know it sounds stupid, like, if I made one person happy, but it's true, it's more than one person. It's hundreds of people that are affected, and that is a magic that we are privileged to be a part of, even just for how little stints of time here and there. Add up.
Absolutely.
That's great. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Leslie. We really appreciate you coming and joining us. And listeners, be sure to keep an eye on our Facebook page. We'll keep posting as they post new episodes of TikTok Boom. So
thank
you can keep
you.
Up with Leslie and follow that way. If fans want to get in touch with you, or like, do you have like a Twitter, or how is the best way to get in touch with you?
You know what? Christine Reese is going to teach me how to do Twitter. I've been away from social media for a while, to be honest. But I'm embracing it again. I got a little overwhelmed with it, to be honest, because it can be overwhelming. And so I sort of like, yeah, but I'm gonna start a Twitter if I can learn how.
It's
so eventually Twitter, but I have my email address on my website, lesliemcconnell.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much again, thanks. Leslie, and have a wonderful afternoon.
Yeah. So thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. I hope you weren't bored. I bored myself at points. I'm sorry, but watch TikTok Boom for fun if you're bored or you love it. I don't know. And thank you guys, Isaac and Christina, so much for listening to me jab on for a while.
Thank you. So